Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 28. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed, for a demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By works? No, but by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Let's pray together. Father, we would ask for understanding of this text, and most especially, understanding of saving, justifying faith, which alone is that instrument by which we receive Christ. And in receiving Christ, we are justified. And so help us to understand and to gain assurance and strengthen that faith of which the apostle speaks of here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we are, I think briefly, going to consider a specific question. And this specific question has to do with the nature of justifying faith. We have defined faith in terms of its three component parts. Faith is knowledge of things that God has revealed in his word. Faith includes an intellectual assent, a sure knowledge that the things revealed are true, they are God's word. And then third, a trust in which we accept, we receive, we rest upon not some doctrine, not some information, not some facts about Jesus, but rather we receive, we accept, we rest upon the person of Christ as he is communicated, as he is presented to us in his word. It was, I believe, Machen that I referred to a couple of weeks ago, and he says this really outdoes all mysticism. We are not somehow swallowed up in the Godhead. We don't somehow lose our identity. There's not just some blinding experience of a nothingness. But rather, we commune in fellowship with a living Savior. Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, now communicated to us through his word. And so faith needs all three parts, but it's that trust part that is so blessed. And without that trust, there is no saving faith. We know not Christ. We are not right before our God. Now, we qualified our definition in four different ways. It's not the strength of faith that saves, that makes it effectual, but rather it's the object that saves, that makes it effectual. Like that father who had came to Jesus to ask Jesus to heal his son, to cast out the demon. Jesus puts the question to him, do you believe? Yes, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's not the strength of our faith. It's not the size of the conduit, but rather the measure of the resources and the reservoir. And second, faith has, in fact, it needs an object. And this object is the person of Christ himself. Third, faith does not naturally live within the heart, but it must be wrought, it must be awakened. There must be a work of the Holy Spirit using His Word in order to bring about that kind of saving faith, that kind of trust. Many might have knowledge of the Scriptures. Perhaps some are assured that that knowledge is true. But only that trust can be gained when the Spirit, using His Word, awakens the heart and communicates faith to us. And then last, this faith has no merit in and of itself. The basis of our salvation, to remind you once again, the basis of our salvation is the work of Christ, His life of obedience, His atoning death, His resurrection from the grave. That's the basis. And faith is only the hand of the soul that reaches out and lays hold of the living person of Christ, in whom is all righteousness. And by the way, all your sanctification and all of your wisdom, you're all in all. Now this morning, one question in regards to this kind of faith, saving faith, justifying faith. Why is it that this faith, and this faith alone, justifies? What is it about this kind of faith that God chooses? And make no mistake about it, there's no efficacy in the faith itself. It's God who chooses this means in order to communicate salvation. There are many, many other virtues that we have and enjoy as believers, given to us, communicated to us by our God. And yet these other virtues and excellencies in no way help us in this initial laying hold of Christ. Paul even says that love, you know, abide in these, hope, faith, and love. And love is the greatest. And yet it's love who cannot justify as a virtue, as a quality. It cannot help us in our salvation. Why then choose faith as an instrument? There are many, many tools often for some of us more tools than for others, but when we go to do those house projects or we go to work on the car, most of us have an assortment of tools. And there was one time we had this Reliant K. Do you remember the Reliant K? And we had this vehicle, and I needed, and I'm not the handiest person, and I don't have many tools, but, you know, kind of the basic, you know, hammer, saw, you know, screwdriver. And I had to change the headlight on this Reliant K, and I saw the little screws that I had to take out. I don't know, there were six or eight of them or whatever. And I saw the head of these screws, and they were rather unique, unusual screws. I mean, you know, the indentation looked like a little star. It wasn't like your regular screws, like a little star. What's up with this? So I went, you know, my toolbox, you know, which is mayhem. Nothing is organized when it comes to my tools. So, you know, pulling out, where's that flathead screwdriver? You know, I need a little one to fit in there. Well, maybe a Phillips head screwdriver will fit in that. So I pull out the flathead and I tried it. No, it doesn't work. Ah, the Phillips head. Surely it's kind of similar to a Phillips head. Maybe the Phillips head. You get a small enough one that fits in there. Maybe I, you know, kind of catch it. You know, Phillips head screwdriver. So nothing I had. I had to go to Napa and buy this for $15, $18 or whatever, this little tool, like a screwdriver, but had a particular head. Got home, fit it perfectly, and there's some satisfaction. You know what I mean? I'm not a handyman, but there's some satisfaction. When you get a tool, it actually fits, and it works, and you get the job done. Kind of nice. Well, faith's like it. For all the tools that the Lord entrusts to us, to do all kinds of things in the Christian life, and there are many, and they are glorious, and they are wonderful, and give much satisfaction, there is no tool in the toolbox that can save you. A means, an instrument, an agent by which Christ is communicated to you, no means, no agency, no instrument by which you can lay hold of Christ with all satisfaction. Except this: faith. Not love, not hope. No righteousness, certainly, no fruit of the Spirit, but saving faith. And this particular aspect of faith that lays hold, receives, accepts, and rests in Jesus alone. And that's the only tool you have. Apart from it, the door's not going to open. You're not going to go down that pathway. Jesus, you won't know Jesus.
So, in salvation, to be made right with God, to be justified, one tool, that tool of faith. If I might, if you would be patient and would receive this, I'd like to read from the Heidelberg Catechism. I love the Heidelberg Catechism. It puts things succinctly and yet so warmly and pastorally. And it talks about faith. There's two questions, answers, that I think are just beautiful, wonderful. The first question, from 60, how are you right with God? How are you right with God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. True faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all of God's commandments, we're haunted by our conscience continually, and of never having kept any of His commandments, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, you see, a realistic assessment of where we are, haunted by our sin, not able to keep God's law if we look at things very, very carefully, unable to keep God's law, and not only that, inclined to evil all the time, nevertheless, what a transition, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned or been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. Justification. All I need to do is to accept the gift of God with a believing heart. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God, with a believing heart. Now you remember that acceptance, that receiving, that resting is not a work itself. There's no merit in our accepting, receiving, resting Christ. No merit. There's no value. We'll talk more about that as well. Remember last week, it's got to be grace, all of grace. There's no merit in faith, even the accepting and receiving. That's not a work. That's not meritorious. God is not going to command. We're not going to win His favor by accepting, receiving Christ. Because like that woman beggar who falls asleep, hand out, man puts alms, puts coins in the hand, she's too sleepy even to receive it, he comes back and he must enfold her hand around the very gift that he is giving. And that's what Christ does for us. Let's see how simple. All you need to do is to accept this gift with a believing heart. And that is an expression of God's grace. Now, second question. Why do you say, I like that Heidelberg Catechism, why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? It is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. Basis of salvation. Not my faith. No value in it. No merit. Only what Christ has done. And, it goes on, and I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. I can receive this righteousness, I can make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. You got one tool. And it works. There's a fittedness to it. Fit it, and it just,
there's a satisfaction when the soul receives Jesus.
So question, why this tool? Why does God choose and bless faith as that saving grace which gains a righteous standing in God's sight? You have the question?
The answer is this.
Faith is unique. All the virtues, the excellencies, all the graces, faith is unique. It's unique in that it offers no work. It offers no virtue. It cannot commend itself by its very nature. It cannot commend itself. It is an ability, but not that kind of ability. It has no resume. Faith cannot draw up and try to convince everyone what a problem solver it is. Faith cannot, in that resume, talk about all of its experience and the power that it has and its wisdom. Faith cannot write on its resume how good I am, how strong I am to save a soul. If you look at faith's resume, it's rather minimal. And it can't commend itself. It's rather poorly written. It can't commend itself. Faith does have an ability, however. And it has an ability to do two things. Two things. We can liken it to our sense of sight. It's like an eye. It's like the ability to see. Faith has that ability to look within. Look within the heart, look within the soul, look within the person. And as it looks, it has the ability to discern. Now, this is saving faith. It's a work of the Spirit. And so one exercising this faith is already being transformed by the Spirit. The Spirit of God is already at work by the Word of God. And that faith is looking inside for something to commend itself before God and can't find anything. It's like an eye that looks within the heart, trying to find something of value, and it comes up empty. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. And then it looks away. A metaphor that's used throughout Scripture, you know? Just as Israel looked unto that serpent that was on the pole to heal itself, so in the day of the Son of Man, there will be many who will look unto the Christ at the cross to save. Look unto the Lord. Look unto the Lord. Being used metaphorically, faith like eyes, able to look within oneself, find nothing, and then look away unto salvation, look away unto Christ, look away unto the cross, to behold His glory, to in some sense see Him, as Hebrews says of Moses, that he was able to see Him who was invisible. Talk about paradox. See Him who was invisible. Eyes of faith beholding Christ. You ever, in some sense, behold the glory of Christ? Have you? Faith is like the hand of the soul. It reaches into the cupboard. It's kind of reaching around for something to eat. It's reaching in the cupboard, and it finds nothing. The cupboard is bare. It'll find, perhaps, dust. Maybe some droppings. Yuck. But it finds nothing in the cupboard. And so it turns from the cupboard and it sees a banquet set for it, and it lays hold of the delicacies. That's faith. Ability to do two things. Look within, find nothing that's commendable. That we're beggars, all of us at heart, just beggars. Nothing there, in rags. Righteousness is filthy rags. And then looks away. To that garment that is clean, to that garment of righteousness with which we are clothed. It lays hold of that, you see. You see, apart from Christ, faith is not noteworthy. Understand, it's not faith's resume that's so good. It's Christ's resume that is sterling, that is so attractive.
But faith is going to gravitate toward Christ. Faith is not noteworthy apart from Christ. In fact, it doesn't even exist apart from its object. And that's why there's no merit found in it. There's no value. It seeks where merit is found. And it's not found here. It seeks where merit is found in the living Christ. It seeks through the Word, yes, but just doesn't cleave to the Word. Through the Word, it comes to a living relationship with the living Lord.
Jonathan Edwards. I'll tell you, with some of his treatises, he's not the easiest man to understand. Sermons tend to be easy. Some of the treatises are not. He has a treatise on justification by faith, and he talks about the nature of faith. And he makes this distinction, so I'm going to bring it before you, because it bears upon the subject. By faith alone, why is faith chosen? Because of its nature. Nothing that commends it, but its ability to receive, to lay hold, to rest in that one who does save. Jonathan Edwards says that there's two kinds of fitness, this is his language, two kinds of fitness in a desirable state. There's like a moral fitness, a moral way of living that does commend itself and is worthy of praise and reward. He is saying faith does not have a moral fitness. Faith does not have a moral fitness. But then he says that there's a natural fitness. A natural fitness. And as he describes this kind of relationship, a natural fittedness, he mentions that God loves many things. Certainly God loves himself. There's all glory in God, not in a narcissistic way, but selfish, self-centered way. But he's worthy. He has all glory in himself and Father, Son, Spirit. And so God loves himself. And there's many things. There's the manifestation, the expression of his glory in all of creation, all of natural creation. And God loves that. God loves his natural order. It's been tainted by sin, distorted everything else. But he loves his natural order. Creating all things in the span of 6 days, that 6 day behold, everything very good, he says. Then he takes the seventh day and he rests. What is he doing on that seventh day resting? Not idleness, you know that. He is rather taking pleasure and delight in the manifestation of his glory, his power, his wisdom, his goodness, that he sees throughout all of his creation. He pauses, he takes a day, and he glories in, he takes pleasure in, he takes delight, he finds joy in the manifestation of his own glory throughout the created order. So he loves his created order. Natural things that fit together well. Huh? It's kind of a satisfaction, like a tool that fits and works. He finds satisfaction. And then he finds he loves his grace. He loves the manifestation of his grace. It's not something outside of the created order. It's that grace working in and through the created order. You understand that, right? And so he loves his grace. He loves the exercise, the work of his grace when people are transformed by his sovereign love. He delights in that. And they're part of that created order. Edwards goes so far as to say, and this is kind of interesting, we often don't think this way. Edwards had a unique mind. I think it was biblical. God loved that natural order and that order of grace. He loved it because in that order, there was a beauty. And he was attracted. It's a reflection, it's a manifestation of his own beauty. And he loves it. He's attracted to it. Well, see, faith fits in there. It's not because it has moral virtue, it's commendable, and God therefore is going to reward it, but rather God sees its beauty, its fittedness. Its nature in which humbly it merely receives. It receives. That's it. It rests. It accepts. It doesn't produce anything. It receives. It accepts. It rests. And God sees in that the beauty of a natural order
and a salvific order, a gracious order. And because of the nature of faith that accepts, receives, and rests, he blesses it, and he chooses to use it as a means of gaining Christ.
Jonathan Edwards. And so God beholds this ability of faith and this grace in that faith to lay hold of Christ, and he is blessed by it. And being blessed by it, he chooses it as an instrument. Faith is like an appetite. An appetite. We get hungry, we get thirsty. And that appetite, that sensation of hunger and thirst, doesn't satisfy, does it? It's the very feeling, it's the very sensation that we're not satisfied. We need food, we need drink. Appetite for sleep, maybe. Maybe some of us need sleep. And it's not the appetite that can satisfy itself. What does an appetite do? It's signaling that we are deficient, that we're empty, that we need something to eat, that we need something to drink. We begin to crave food, we begin to crave something to drink. And what then does it do? It seeks out the way in which it's satisfied. That very appetite and the thing that satisfies it, food and drink, has a fittedness. God has created the appetite that it might fit the very food and drink that he creates and gives to you. You see? And in that fittedness, he's pleased. He loves it. In that fittedness, there's a satisfaction in it. Faith is like an appetite. It cannot feed itself. It cannot quench its own thirst. Faith is that sensation and ability in which it finds itself hungry and then seeks to be satisfied and knows where it will be satisfied in Christ. Why do you think in the Beatitudes Jesus blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? They hunger and thirst for righteousness because God himself will satisfy that hunger and thirst. And he does that in Christ. Follow? Our faith is so God-centered. Not man-centered. God-centered. It's a tool that he pleases to give to us that is used. It's an appetite that causes us to seek the Son. You see, it's the eye of the soul that beholds the Christ. It's the ear that hears his word. It's the mouth that receives him. Why is faith the sole instrument? Why faith alone the means of salvation? Because of what it is, its nature. It has nothing to commend itself. It sees that the soul has nothing to commend it. But it reaches out. It looks. It hears. It ingests. It receives. It lays hold of with its hand the very salvation in Jesus himself. And in this, God is glorified. That's why in verse 27 he says, "Who then is boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith." There are free art museums. You know that. You could go to Dayton and you could walk through those doors and there's a feast for the eyes. Park in the parking lot. No one's there to take your money. It's a free art museum filled with wonderful works. And from what I understand, a fantastic art museum in Cleveland, and what I found out the other night, that too is free. How simple. Walk through the door. How freeing. Go to any room and enjoy the art. Modern. I don't enjoy the modern so much, but 19th century, Impressionists, classical artists.
And how rich. How very rich. Simple, free, freeing, and rich. My friends, your faith as a soul means is like entering into an art museum. It's simple. By faith. Simply accepting. You see, I like the Heidelberg Catechism. What does it say? And all I need to do is accept this gift of God with a believing heart. We talk a lot about justification. We spent many weeks. And okay, there are all kinds of distinctions and nuances, and it can get a little complicated. We talk theology. We talk scripture. We get into the depth of things a little bit. But quite frankly, salvation is rather simple. It's like walking through the door. It's like a hand reaching for the piece of cake. It's like the eye beholding the object of beauty. It's that simple. It's that simple. Believing, accepting, resting, receiving Christ. Simple. And how freeing. Not by works of the law. Nothing, nothing to commend you to God in and of yourself. Everything that commends you to God is there in Christ. And that's who you're receiving. How freeing. Go wherever you want to go. You're free. There is no baggage, no bondage, nothing, no chain hanging on to you. No, you are free. Not enslaved anymore. Walk through the door. Wander around. Go to any room, any exhibit. You're free. And then how enriching. With eyes of faith. Yes, through a glass darkly. Someday we will behold Him face to face. But the living Savior? Now? Beholding? Hearing? Fellowshipping? Communing? Conversing? Knowing a tenderness in the assurances and the comfort that He gives to us in all of our trials, all of our burdens? Feeling His strength, knowing His wisdom. The living Savior. How? That's like going to a museum free. You wander. And these classical masterpieces. And you take them in and you are enriched. How much more enriching is it in the galleries of heaven? Where our eyes are allowed to roam and we behold the Savior in all of His glory. In all of His power, in all of His love. Do you know His gaze? Do you hear His word? Do you rest in Him? Do you receive Him? Do you follow Him? Do you fellowship with Him? So enriching. And there's nothing on earth that can compare. Nothing. A living relationship with a living Savior. And it's yours as a gift. Just receive. Just accept. And know that in that accepting and receiving, it's part of the gift. Part of the gift. Let's pray together.